Welcome to Street Knowledge with Chris Graham.
Virginia Tech match up on Wednesday night in JPJ. I'm Chris Graham, and we'll break things down for you here. We like to do this, we call it the matchup. It's a simple name. We look at the two teams and kind of guess as to how things are going to go based on how we think things will play out. Virginia Tech is an interesting case. Virginia, of course, is 3-2 in the ACC, coming off an ugly loss over the weekend at North Carolina after a two-game winning streak on the road, ending a three-game road streak. The road trip was daunting when it started, but Virginia got wins at Syracuse and then at Clemson. And North Carolina, especially Armando Bacot, dominated in a 74-58 win on Saturday in Chapel Hill. But Virginia gets to lick their wounds a bit, come back home, finally get in front of the JPJ crowd, and Wednesday night at 9 o'clock, late tip, the Hoos and the Hokies will match up for the first of two in 2022. Now, Tech was a trendy pick to be a sleeper possible ACC champion at the beginning of the season because Mike Young has a lot of guys back from last year's team and a lot of improvements for the guys that, you know, they had to kind of to move things around a bit. And then the Hokies are 0-3 in the ACC right now. And the surprise was a 78-73 loss to NC State last week in Blacksburg. That was a Tech team. NC State came in with a five-game losing streak. And Tech's backstory, maybe you can kind of guess a little, you know, two-week COVID pause. They you know, when you're out for a couple of weeks, I mean, we've seen that Clemson, Virginia, when Virginia played Clemson the second time and when it was last week, Clemson was coming off of a two-week pause. I mean, you come out rusty. There's it's just human nature that that's going to be the case. But the Hokies are 0-3 in the ACC. So I guess you can stop talking about ACC championship sleeper team. And still, though, look at this Tech team. They're 8-6. Pretty tough November-December schedule, I think. You look at the potential of this team. I think the potential of this team is something you look, when you see that final score over a really good Saints Bonaventure team, 86-49 win last month, that tells you the ceiling for this Virginia Tech team. The floor is probably closer to that loss to NC State last week. Looking at the Virginia Tech rotation, some familiar names and some new names. Among the familiar names, Keve Aluma, the 6'9 center. Virginia fans will remember Keve Aluma from last year. He was a tough matchup for Virginia's bigs, and Virginia was big dominant last year. But Keve Aluma, especially that win in Blacksburg for the Hokies, was unstoppable. Very versatile guy. He can beat you in the post. He can, you know, the mid-range, his three-point shooting down this year. He's only shooting 23.5% on threes this year. He's 35.1% last year. But Aluma, 15.2 points a game, 50.9% overall from the field. And his shooting numbers, even though the three numbers are way down, his shooting numbers overall are up because he's doing a lot better in the mid-range. He's shooting 56.4% on two-point jumpers, up from 43.7% a year ago. So Aluma's a tough guard. He's a tough guard. And we'll talk about who and how we think that Virginia will approach him defensively. Around Aluma in the paint, Coach Young has just a plethora of three-point shooters. Virginia Tech shooting 38.8% from three this year, 20th in the nation. And there's 358 teams nationally. So this is, when you're top 20, that's a big deal. Hunter Couture is the key guy in the starting lineup from three. He shoots 44.6% from three, 10.1 points a game overall. And he's a high-volume guy from three, over five attempts a game on average from three. One guy off the bench, Darius Maddox, a 6'5 sophomore, shoots 50% from three off the bench. Only gets 15 minutes a game, but you got to watch for where he is on the floor when he's out there. You also need to watch out for the transfer, Storm Murphy, a 6-foot senior. He's the point guard. Came up from Wofford, joined Mike Young from there. He's a 39.3% shooter from three. Doesn't have a high volume of shots, but Murphy's a guy you got to watch out for. Naheem Alain is a guy that will shoot it a lot, scores 10 points a game, but his shooting is way down from last year. 39.2% from the field last year, 31.9% this year. 40.8% from three last year, just 32.4% this year. So Alain is a guy that he's going to throw it up there. And you got to think at some point, I mean, he was so adept last year. At some point that light is going to go off for him, and he's going to be ready. UVA fans, just hope it's not Wednesday night. Justin Mutz is an interesting guy, 6'7", 230 senior. He's a beast in the post. He doesn't get a lot of touches. 9.9 points, 7.5 rebounds a game, 51.3%. And he's 61.2% at the rim. He's also a pretty good defender. We'll talk about that in the matchups. But Mutz is a guy that will match up. He'll actually match up pretty well with Jaden Gardner, I would think, down low. The Hokies get depth in the post from 6'9 sophomore David Ngessen and 6'10 junior John Ogiako. One other guy gets rotation minutes, Sean Padula. And you got to watch for him. He's pretty good shooter from outside. Only gets around 10 minutes a game, but he can light it up when he gets opportunities. So when you look at the matchups, the tough one for UVA is the same one that was tough last year. It's Aluma. Last year it was Jay Huff who struggled. This year it'll be Caden Shedrick, I imagine. Shedrick will need to avoid early foul trouble. He averages 5.0 fouls per 40 minutes. He's done a better job of avoiding foul trouble of late, but he'll really need to. Shedrick's a pretty good defender. His backup, Francisco Cafaro, God love Cafaro, but he's not the good he's in fact the worst defender on this UVA team when you look at the analytics. And Aluma, he can score in a post. He can score on the pick and pop. He can beat you from three if he can't get out there and close out on him. If Shedrick gets in early foul trouble, it's going to be a long night for Virginia with Cafaro having to get out there and guard him. Now when you look at Virginia, we know that Tech will go through Aluma. Virginia goes offensively through Jaden Gardner, 15 points a game, 7.5 rebounds a game, 57.4% from the field. And he largely plays in the post. He can hit it from three, but he'll largely play in the post and mid range. The guy likely to guard him most of the night, Mutz, is a pretty good low post defender. He's the second best defender analytically from Synergy Sports. He allows 0.791 points per possession. And so that's going to be an interesting matchup. Gardner is, if he gets shut down, that's Virginia's offense kind of bogged down. Aluma on Shedrick now. So Shedrick's going to have a tough matchup with Aluma. Aluma might have his hands full a bit with Shedrick. If Shedrick can be a force early, Shedrick can kind of come and go. He, I think he had 2 points in the loss at North Carolina. He had 12 points, 11 rebounds in the win down at Clemson last week. If Shedrick can get off a little early, Aluma is a poor defender. When I say poor, I got my air quotes up in the air when I say that. That's Synergy rates you either average, what poor, average, poor, below average, average, above average, and then excellent. And he's a poor defender. He's the lowest rated defender in the Tech rotation. So you might actually see Tony Bennett try to get some looks for Shedrick in the post early just to see if they can take advantage of that matchup. Same for Eileen. He's a guy that, in addition to the fact that he's not shooting well, he's also the worst perimeter defender in the rotation for Virginia Tech. And he's going to likely get Armand Franklin as his matchup. Franklin, we all know, I write about this a lot. He was a 42.4% three-point shooter last year. He's only 22.2% for Virginia this year, but he's really good in the mid-range and at the rim. If he would just de-emphasize the threes and emphasize the mid-range and the rim, he's a 60% shooter inside the arc. So Bennett will want to see Franklin attack. So basically from Virginia's standpoint, Franklin attack, maybe feed a little bit of Shedrick in the post and see what you can get there. Maybe get Aluma in foul trouble early and see if you can get some stuff out of Gardner with a tough matchup with Mutz. Now in the backcourt, my guess is that Young on Virginia Tech side will go with Couture, his best perimeter defender, on Virginia's point guard, Kihei Clark. Couture is the two guard, but I think that you'll probably see Couture on Clark. Clark's the Virginia's Kihei Clark, Reese Beekman backcourt. He's the more adept scorer, certainly from three, shooting 42.6% from three. So I imagine you'll see Couture chasing him around. But that could open things up for Reese Beekman. Beekman averaging 7.3 points, 40% shooting from the field, 40.9% shooting from the field, 25% from three. Against Storm Murphy. Murphy's an average defender and would give up both size, 3 inches, and then athleticism. Beekman is the most athletic player in the Virginia roster. And also Beekman over the last four games, averaging 10.8 points, 3.8 assists per game, 60% shooting from the field, 44.4% from three. So Virginia's backcourt could give Tech's backcourt some trouble. You look at the advantages and disadvantages. I mean, they're kind of all over the place as far as this one goes. It'll be interesting to see how it all plays out on Wednesday night. Look for coverage from AFP. We'll have more pregame for myself and for my colleague, Scott German. And then, of course, we'll both be courtside, at least kind of courtside. You don't really sit courtside anymore at UVA. They, like a lot of arenas now, they sell those seats that we used to get from the media perspective. So we're kind of halfway up the section behind one of the home team basket. But we'll be there anyway. Scott and I will be, and we'll have post game and everything else you can imagine from there. That game again is Wednesday at 9 o'clock. So a late start for the Hoos and Hokies, but looking forward to that one and getting, it's been a while since I've been to a game at JPJ since before Christmas, actually. So looking forward to getting back in the swing of things as far as that goes. I want to thank you for your time. Thank you for listening. If you have any questions, AugustaFreePress2@gmail.com. On Twitter, you can DM me at AUG Free Press, AUG Free Press. You can go to Facebook. You can send us a message there. I guess you could mail us if you figured out our mailing address. You could just yell really loud, but we do want to hear from you. Questions you may have, things you may want us to address in the future. So, again, thank you for your time today listening, and we really appreciate it. And everyone have a great day.